You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com.
Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. Schocker, let's start with the defense pairings. Nurse was still with Larson today. Klefbom with Greiba. Do you think it stays that way for Game 7?
I think it just depends on how Klefbom feels. I think that if he's not 100%, if he's 70-80%, I think they probably have to consider keeping a healthy player on that top or second pairing rather than have a guy in there playing minutes against Getzlaff or Kessler or those real big, strong players. So I, based on the look today, it looks like, Klefbom was taking reps with the top unit power play, but he was skating on a pairing with Greiba. It would make sense to me, if he's not 100%, to have him play third pairing minutes with Greiba, top power play minutes, and then let Darnell Nurse do some heavy lifting. I mean, they're going to have to lean on Nurse and Benning again, and why put an injured player on the top pairing against the other team's best players if Klefbom's not quite ready?
What are you hearing on what the injury or ailment was for Klefbom?
Well, I mean, I think he blocked that shot, and it was a full slap shot right up high, I think he got, right? I mean, if I were to guess, I would say it's ribs, but I don't know that for sure. And as you know, in the playoffs, there's not a lot of inside information to be gotten. So my guess is that it's a rib injury or an upper body injury of some sort. The fact that he was practicing with the power play, though, tells me he can shoot, because that's his weapon on that power play, is a shot. So because he was in there, leads me to believe that there's a good chance he's going to play and that he'll be on that power play unit. So I don't know. Maybe it's not ribs. If you can shoot like that, maybe it's not. So I mean, we'll have to wait and see. But I thought Nurse did a decent job last game. And to have two guys that are mobile and 100% might be smarter than one guy banged up.
Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. I don't expect any lineup changes up front anyway for the Edmonton owners. Your second line, if you want to call it that, with Draisaitl was dominant. Your fourth line was great. The third
line you thought was great?
Oh, no, Letestu is the fourth line. Let's be honest. If Nugent...
No, let's be honest. The Eberle line is the fourth line. I mean, frankly.
Well, in production, but let's be honest. They're not in even in minutes played. They're not the fourth line. Like, they're producing one. But we all know they're the third line, ice time, everything else. They're just producing like an eighth line.
Well, he rolled them out there a lot when they had a lead in game six because he was desperate to get them off the schneid and get them feeling it. They played a lot of
minutes.
Well,
Eberle only played 12
game.
Minutes last game, man. That was his fewest minutes of any game this series. I actually looked it up.
And that's the thing. Like, they are the fourth line right now. They are. It's kind of hard to believe, but I mean, they are. They're producing like a fourth line. And if you look at the minutes, it's time for them to check in. They check into the series, and it's a huge advantage for the Oilers. They've been completely missing in action. And if there were ever a time to get it done, it's game seven. But I don't think anybody can count on them at this point, but it would sure be nice for them if they could get it done. Because, man, if they lose game seven tonight and neither of them produces anything, that is a tough go. I mean, that'll be a long off season. Like Craig Button said on the air the other day, it's tough enough to lose a series and be done for the year. It's another thing to lose and be done for the year knowing you contributed next to nothing.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure it'll cause a lot of knee-jerk reaction. You know, people are already saying get rid of Eberle for nothing in the expansion draft. That frees up money. And did he have a bad year? No doubt about it. Do I give up on a guy who's, been a 20-goal scorer every year of his career and, up until this year, averaged 27 for nothing just to free up some cap space in a free agent market that isn't very good? I wouldn't do it just yet because I'm not sold that the Oilers have guys that are guaranteed can pot you 20 to 25 goals next year.
Right. I mean, they need to be careful with the asset. I mean, the problem is that the rest of the league is watching too. It's not like they're all of a sudden going to be able to say, oh, Jordan Eberle's available. Okay, where are all those great offers that they had before? I mean, the whole league is watching. Everybody's seeing what's happening. Now, will there be a team out there, maybe Vegas, that needs some frontline scoring and has some money to spend and is willing to overlook this year and think that a change of scenery might help Jordan Eberle? Sure. Somebody will be out there. They'll be able to get something for him. the problem is this. I mean, the $6 million cap hit is a huge problem because he's not. It's just going to severely limit where he's even able to go. They would have to take something back, maybe less desirable. It's got a big ticket as well for it to make sense for a lot of teams. So, I mean, they'll find a fit. They'll get something useful in return, but it's not going to be nearly what it might have been at a certain point. But I just don't see how moving forward they can, on their big whiteboard in their room where they plan out and map out the future, how they can still have Jordan Eberle as a player to rely on that right side in the top two, on the top two lines. I just don't know how, after all of this, that could be their tactic moving forward.
Well, it's funny, you know what, how opinions of players change, and you know what, now it'd be trading him in, you know, a quarter on the dollar. I don't think there's any debate about that, which is why I think you might see Chiarelli. Well, unless, you know, he finds a deal that makes sense to him. I don't know if he's going to jump at it. However, when you look at Nugent Hopkins and Eberle, do you think automatic, even if both were playing well, do you think one's going to be moved regardless of how the playoffs end up this summer?
Yeah, I think they will try. Yeah. I mean, they would like it a lot more if Eberle were having a good playoff and his value were getting bumped up a little bit. I think they'll try. I mean, it's pretty clear to me what this team is lacking and what they need moving into next season. They need a really good, solid third-line center that can win faceoffs, play in a shutdown role, and play against some of the other team's better players. And I just don't know, but between McDavid and Draisaitl, I don't know how much offense you're going to need out of your third-line center. So, like, they have their... The Oilers got a lot of really good pieces moving forward, but it's clear what they're lacking. And so they're spending a lot of money on Eberle, a lot of money on Nugent Hopkins. Nugent Hopkins is supposed to be an offensive center, but he's not producing. He's a bit of a hybrid now where he's defensively, his game has supposedly gotten better, and it has. But at $6 million for a strictly defensive center who doesn't win faceoffs and isn't producing, I mean, that's just, it just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, they'll look to move certainly one of them, most likely Eberle. And I don't know. It's just obvious what they need to me. It really is. And how they get it, how they address it, I'm not sure. That's for Chiarelli to figure out. But, I mean, how would Brian Boyle look on this team right now in that third line center spot? It's a very clear need in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even sure if Boyle's can play 14 minutes yet, but we'll see. I think even in Toronto, he didn't play that much. But, hey, you know who would be great as a third-line center? It's if you sign Nick Bonino. We make a trade, and then you sign Nick Bonino as your third-line center. That's a guy who can play third line and can chip in some offense. Fun question for you. Anton Slepyshev, Drake Kajula, who do you think has a better year next year and why?
Good question. I'm going to say Kajula. I think Slepyshev is going to have some competition for offensive minutes with Puljujarvi next year. Although there are two. And if the Oilers are in on this Foo, he's a right guy, isn't he? Right side guy?
Yeah, Spencer Foo you're talking from Edmonton?
Yeah, the college player. I think he's a right shot guy. Now, whether he plays or not, I'm not sure. I just think Kajula will probably get lots of opportunity next year like he did this year. And Slepyshev, he's been really good for them, and it's been a really good step forward for him. But from a consistency standpoint, I would probably lean more on Kajula to be able to turn around and bring it next year, similar to the way he is now. But I really like Slepyshev, though. He's this opportunity he's getting now, playing in the top six forwards, and the way he's skating and making some decent plays, he's been good for them, and he's grabbed onto this thing and done a nice job. So too is Drake Kajula.
Well, I'll say one thing about Kajula, man. The guy's the Swiss Army knife. He's played center, he's playing left wing, now he's playing right wing. The reason Kajula, I believe, is going to be successful, and I look at guys like Jake Guentzel and other players in Pittsburgh, when you have two elite centers like the Oilers have now in McDavid and Draisaitl, you need players who have skill but really have a high hockey IQ, and Kajula thinks the game very well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. He's got better hockey sense, better sense all around the ice. Slepyshev's been okay in his own end. He can get a little messy in his own end sometimes, and Kajula, I think, tends to lock it down a little more. To your point, he's comfortable playing center if he has to. You can move him up and down the lineup. He can be on your fourth line. He can be on your second line. He's a good player. He really is, and he developed. They stuck with him this year because there were some times where I was going, holy smokes, why is this guy still in the lineup? But they stuck with him. And it's paying off now because he's a useful player for them, whereas Slepyshev didn't get the same benefit of the doubt this year that Kajula did. Slepyshev was in and out more, up and down more. He didn't get the same opportunity that Kajula did, but he is now, and he's making a lot of it. So two real good depth players that could be really useful for the Oilers moving forward, because you need guys on good contracts that can contribute maybe a little bit above their heads, and both of those guys have that potential.
Shauger, get on a flight, fly safe, and we will talk to you tomorrow from sunny Anaheim.
All right, sounds good, pal. Take care.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.